Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, just to praise His name. If you can't think of anything to praise Him for, just know that you are alive today. And that's just something small just to give Him praise for. So we encourage you, open your mouths. Let's give God all the praise that He deserves. All the praise. And my ultimate task as I stand before you is just to help us as we try to lift our voices. I'm not trying to take away from what God has given us. Let's give Him all the praise that He deserves. 790. When we all get to heaven, 790. We'll sing verses number 1, 2, and 4 of this song. 790.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Yes, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes we come to our lives and we just want to give God His praise and the glory that He has bestowed upon us. And sometimes I think it kind of reminds us just to put ourselves in the zone of worship. And sometimes we just want to say to God, Father, we love You, we worship and adore You. We glorify Thy name in all the earth. Glorify Thy name. Glorify Thy name. Glorify Thy name in all the earth. And Jesus, we love You, we were worship at the door. And we sing, glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. And Spirit, we love you, we worship and adore you. And we sing, glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. And we will glorify thy name, Jesus. Glorify thy name for the glorify thy name in all the earth.
Good morning, family. Today's scripture will be taken from Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 23. That's Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 15 through 23. And Paul records, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe ye, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his right hand in the heavenly places. For above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." I've read in your hearings Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 23. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and doers of his word. And for those who are able, please stand for a word of prayer.
Good morning. It's so great to see all of you here to lift up our Father in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is with great humility that we say thank you for allowing us to come to this place. Thank you for allowing us to be on this humble ground this morning, not because of the building or the structure or because of us, but because You have said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. Blessed Father, we want to thank you and glorify you for seeing us through this past week. Lord, there were times when we were aware of what you were doing for us. There were times when we could not even see, but still, your hand was on our shoulder, guiding us out of danger and into safety. And blessed Father, we want to say thank you because you are our God. Because, Father, you just lift us up no matter what we are going through, whether we are sick, whether we have financial concerns, no matter what it is, Father, there have been times we might not have gotten the answer that we wanted, but you've always given us peace. And for that, we say thank you. Blessed Father, we lift up our voices in prayer, thanking you for your darling Son, who you sent to this earth to live among us, to show us how to live, and then to leave us with your word that gives us all an opportunity to see you one day in heaven. And blessed Father, we thank you for all that we have, all of the benefits that we have here. We thank you for our elders who shepherd among us. We thank you for those who diligently worked to teach us and to teach others. And blessed Father, we thank you for our ministers. Lord, they preach and they study your word, and then they rightly divide it among us. And Lord, the one blessing that sometimes we often overlook is that no matter what is said, as long as it is according to your word, dear Father, we can readily apply it to our lives each and every day. And then we can help shine so that others can ask that question, what must I do to be saved? So, blessed Father, throughout the proceeding of this service, we pray that we might have the strength and the faith and the perfect love to not be children of fear, but just to put all of our thoughts and concerns aside, to worship a loving Father like you, who loved us so much that he gave his only Son. Blessed Father, we love you, we thank you, and it's in your blessed Son's name that we say, amen.
967. We'll sing one verse of this song. 967. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchor in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a dream that's planted by the wall or turfs, for I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved just like a dream that's planted by the wall or turf. I shall not be moved. Verse 4. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a dream that's planted by the wall. Thus, for I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the waters, for I shall not be moved. Amen. Number 330, as we prepare for communion, 330. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did He chose a lowly birth because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so.
As the saints gather here today to reflect upon the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a portion of our worship where we reflect upon the cup which represents Christ's shed blood, the bread which represents his broken body. Let us partake of this as we reflect upon that great sacrifice that he did for us. The scripture text that we'll be studying comes from Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29, and it reads, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, for this is my body.' And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you, my Father's kingdom.'" Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, humble as we know how, just thanking for that great sacrifice that you did on the cross, dying for our sins that we may have a right to the tree of life, dear Father. Father, as you would be with us as our minds and our minds reflect upon that great sacrifice that you did for us, Father. We ask all these things in your Son, Christ's name we pray, amen.
Communion reading come from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7, and it read as following. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you."
Verse number 2 of 330. Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because he loved me so. He loved me.
He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. Till Jesus comes, I'll sing his praise, and then to glory go, and reign with him through endless days, because he loved me so. Yes, he loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. Yes, he loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so.
Amen. Please mark it as one of our songs of invitation. Number 890, 890 will be one of our songs of invitation. Our final song before the message will be Salvation Has Been Brought Down. Salvation Has Been Brought Down. This song is not in our current songbook, but I believe you have the words to that song, and so we'll sing that song as our song before the message. And we're going to invite those of you who are able to do so, please stand with us on this final selection. Jesus gave his life a ransom, yon on Calvary, on Mount Calvary, that cruel Calvary. He paid the way by blood that we might win a right shining crown. Praise his holy name. Oh, glory, praise the Lord. Salvation has been brought down. Go and shout and tell it the world around. Tell it today. Tell it today. We've got to preach the word of God that we might win a crown. Tell the lost salvation is full and free. Spread the news all over the land and sea, and tell it all far.
tell it all for. Praise the Lord, salvation has been brought down. There's a blessed home prepared way over in glory land. In bright glory land, that blessed glory land. For I have trusted in his love and now I'm heaven bound. Praise his holy name. Oh, glory, praise the Lord. Salvation has been brought down. Go and shout and tell it the world around. Tell it today. Tell it today. We've got to preach the word of God that we might win a crown. Just in the Lord's salvation is full and free. Spread the news all over the land and sea. Just tell it off and tell it off. Praise the Lord, salvation has been brought down. Well, all alone without a friend, he suffered to pay it all. Yes, he paid it all. King Jesus paid it all. And in his blessed promises, sweet victory can be found. Praise his holy name. Oh, glory, praise the Lord. Salvation has been brought down. Go and shout and tell it the world around. Just tell it today. And tell it today. We've got to preach the word of God that we might win a crown. Just in the Lord's salvation is full and free. Spread the news all over the land and sea. Just tell it afar and tell it afar. Praise the Lord, salvation has been brought down. Where praise the Lord, salvation has been brought down.
From heaven, go and shout,
and shout,
and tell it to the world around.
Go preaching, just tell it today. And tell it today. We'll preach the word of God that we might win a crown. Just in the Lord's salvation is full and free to sin us
bread.
The blessed
news
all over the land and sea.
Go teach it and
tell it
afar.
Tell
it afar all over creation.
Praise the
Lord.
Salvation has been brought down.
Amen. We're very thankful that God has blessed us with this privilege to worship him and to acknowledge that he is God. And he is very deserving of worship, praise, honor, adoration. Whatever we can do to let the world know that we know that without God, we would not even be here. And so we're thankful to see all of you that are here, all of the saints. God has really blessed this church. You know, I go and preach other places. And it's only when I come back and I see the kind of blessings that God has given us. You don't know, but I know, and maybe you do know, that this is a special place. So I say that if you're visiting and you're looking for a church home, you need to stop looking. This is the place you ought to be. You can tell I'm stirred up. Brother Alexander got me stirred up. I tell you, he sang that, didn't he, boy? I tell you, you sang it too. We all recognize this is our welcome to visitors. Please fill out that blue card. Let us have a record of your attendance with us. And we do thank you for coming and being with us. Our second quarter is rapidly coming to an end. Next month, we will begin the third quarter. We appreciate Brother Worthy on last Lord's Day for concluding our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 13. Now we are in a transition. We're transitioning from the second quarter to the third quarter. The third quarter emphasizes the hands and feet of Christ. We're looking at purpose and we're looking at service as a disciple of Christ. We have invited Brother Truett Adair from the Sunset School of Preaching to initially launch us into our third quarter, the second Sunday in July. That's July the 12th. So let's pray for him. Let's all prepare our hearts and minds to move to our third quarter theme. My lesson this morning is designed to begin that transition. And the events of last week, this month, and this entire year has caused me, and I know you as well, to realize that we're living in a time of rapid changes. No one will debate that. Yet much of the debate and vitriol is over whether the changes are good or whether they are bad. You and I find as many different opinions, persuasions, and convictions as there are people. It just depends on who you ask as to how one feels about what has transpired recently. The ghastly, appalling incidents recently witnessed have caused us to ask not when will these horrifying incidents end, but rather when and where will the next occur. We live in times of heightened fear and uncertainty. We are not safe in the movie theater. We're not safe in the school. We're not safe at home. We're not safe in the mall. We're not safe in sporting events. And neither are we safe in a place where we're dedicated to worshiping God. So my message this morning is, in times like these, in times like these. From the Apostle Paul's epistle, I would like to draw at least four. I have five, but I wasn't able to get to all five in the first service, so I will not attempt to get to number five at this service. But I want you to know that I believe that the message or the prayer of Paul for the Ephesian church is the basis of how you and I should respond in times like these. Number one, based on verse number 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, may I say to us that our response in times like these must be a response of faith and love. Faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all saints and love for every person. When you talk about faith, you're talking about a conviction of truth. Truth of anything. But more specifically, we're talking about a truth as it relates to an unseen God. Though our times are uncertain, we recognize that there is a God. Not only do we believe in God, but we also put our reliance and our trust in God. In the midst of times that are uncertain and changing, we believe that our faith as a people of God, as disciples of Christ, must be one where faith is demonstrated among his people. Faith in God. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. We walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is the reward of them that diligently seek him. Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge him. And in times like these, he will direct our steps. Not only must we be a people of faith, but we have to be a people of love. A people who are about goodwill. A people who are about benevolence. A people performing the highest good for every person unconditionally. We do not allow ourselves to make our love predicated on people meeting certain conditions. The people of God in times like these have to let love, where the Bible says, now abide these three, faith, hope, and love. But he says the greatest of these is love. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for the other. You and I cannot ever, in times like these, allow ourselves not to love. I think it was demonstrated tremendously this past week in South Carolina. Where love actually became the very panacea for what was meant to cause much controversy and coming from hate. In Romans chapter 12, and I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 12, and I want to begin at verse number 14, and I want them to put that on the screen, and I just want to briefly go through this with you. In times like these, we got to be a people of faith, trusting God and relying on God, and we must be a people of love. Notice in verse number 14,
began at verse number 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. That's what God asks us to do. Verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, which simply means don't try to identify with the aristocrats. Don't try to identify with those who are of the higher echelon of life. As people of God, as we go through times like this, and we exemplify love, he says, what I need you to do is to condescend to men of lower state. Give more attention to those that are disenfranchised. Give more attention to those people that are hurting. Don't get caught up in a system that overlooks the hurt and those that are mourning. Watch verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of God. Don't be a crook. Times like this, we got to be honest. Don't revert to doing things under the cover and doing things that are outside of the law. Stay with the law. Do things honest in the sight of all men. Not just in the church, but all men. Verse number 18. If it be possible. And watch him. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. With all men. Watch him. Verse number 19. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. In other words, wrath has a place. Wrath and revenge has a place. And he said, what I want you to do is keep it in its place. He says, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I don't need you to get caught up in vengeance. I don't need you to get angry and respond angrily. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Don't nobody get by with anything. I will repay, saith the Lord. In times like these, we're going to have to not be vengeful and not be wrathful. We're going to have to depend and let the Lord take care of his business. Verse number 20. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, ain't going to be no short lesson. I'm just going to tell you up front. I shouldn't have said that. I think we really need to get this. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And watch verse number 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We've got to be a people of faith and a people of love, doing what the Lord has asked us to do. Number two, look at verse number 16 of our text. He says, I heard about your faith in Christ, and I heard about your love for one another. And he said, when I heard about it, he said, I ceased not to give thanks for you. Whenever there are people who are abiding in faith and abiding in love, Paul says, he said, I gave thanks to God, making mention of you in my prayers. Number two, in times like these, we must pray to God. Paul was in prison and Paul had negative circumstances, but he found time to pray. And he said that I cease not to give thanks for you. Prayer simply means, ladies and gentlemen, that number one, we acknowledge that God is. Number two, we beseech God. And we offer thanksgiving to God. And when we pray, we're going to have to pray with regularity. Don't just pray to him when you get in trouble. Don't just pray to him when things go bad. God says, "And I need you to get on a regular routine. I need you to get on a regular schedule of prayer." Somewhere in your itinerary, you ought to say, "This is my hour for prayer." That's what Paul was saying. Paul said, "I have a schedule for prayer." And during my schedule of prayer, he said, "I don't cease to pray for you and give thanks for you living a life of faith and living a life of love, knowing your commitment to Christ." He said, "What I need you to pray for, though, I need you to pray," listen to verse number 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." He said, the more you pray, the more God will give you insight into himself. God wants us to understand who he is. First of all, that he is. He wants us to understand his character. God wants us to understand not only his character, but he wants us to learn to trust him. And he says, through prayer, God will give you more revelation into who he is. The more you deal with a person, the more you understand that person. Sister, I don't even have to ask whether she likes something or not. I already know whether she likes it or not. I've been dealing with over 40-some years. And so because of my regularity, and because of our interaction, I already know how she thinks. A lot of time I don't even have to ask how our elders feel about something. Because over 30-something years, we have been working together. I already know how Brother Glover's going to react. I already know how Brother Green is going. And they know how I'm going to respond. Because we know one another. And what God is saying to say, get to know me. Know me, know me, know me, know me. And if you know him, you know he ain't going to let nothing happen and get by with it. Now you know I'm always on time. I may not come when you want me, but I'm always on time. Our problem is that we don't pray enough to him. We don't spend enough time, quality time, getting to know God. And that's when you're in times of trouble and when things don't seem to be going the way you want to, you know who got it. God's got it. Nothing happens that God doesn't know about. I'm spending too much time on this point. Telling you, that's where your anchor is. When you know God. Nothing happened this past week that God didn't already know about. And here's what he says. And the eyes of your understanding, verse number 18, being enlightened. I need to put some eyes on your heart where you can see. And I want you to know the hope of your calling. The hope of our calling is in heaven. I'm going to say that again. The hope of our calling is in heaven. The hope of our calling is not here on this earth. We are his inheritance. We are the glory of his inheritance. God makes us the very epitome of who he is, and he puts all of his trust and all of his confidence in his people. We are his inheritance. And he intends for us to live with him. Now, if you, in times like this, if you're trying to make this world your place of residence, and you think that you're going to make this world a better place, forget it. God has already gone on record. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Men shall wax worse and worse. In other words, it's not going to get any better. But when you know God and you pray to God, you know that God's inheritance, his calling is about me going to heaven. Amen. I'm on my way out of here. Soon and very soon. One of these days we'll lay down this troubled world. We'll sing goodbye. I shouldn't act like this. But I'm talking about in time like this, you got to know where your home is. Where's your calling? Where's God calling you to? My resident is not 122 Lincoln Lane. My resident is not 27, whatever it is. We act like, well, anyway, I'm spending too much time. Now, I said the essence of what I needed to say. I did. The only thing I'd be doing is repeating now. In times like these, we got to know the power available to the saints. Verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Now watch this. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward. Who believe? If you believe, there's a tremendous power of God toward us. Worst thing you want to do is go through this world not believing. Because if you go through this world not believing, you don't attach yourself to the power. See, when I believe, there's a power that I plug into. And since I know God, I watch this power work in the life of Israel. It was a power that brought them out of Egypt. It was a power that opened up the Red Sea. It was a power that gave them bread from heaven. It was a power that gave them water from a rock. Jesus demonstrated the power of God when he turned water into wine. Power of God when he healed a lame boy 20 miles away and never put eyes on the boy. That's power. No. Don't question my power, because my power is so powerful that Jesus went down into the grave. And when he went down into the grave, 3 days later, I got him up. There's nobody in the world that has that much power. Problem is that a lot of us don't understand that God has that power really toward us. He can bring you through a death. It's a power. He can bring you through a loss of a job. I got a refrigerator at home, but it will not refrigerate until I plug it up. Got a microwave, but it will not work until I plug it up. Now my microwave won't refrigerate, and my refrigerator won't microwave. But what do they have in common? Same power. You may not be a preacher. You may not be an elder. But I got news for you. If you're a believer, all you got to do is what? Plug into the what? Power. I can plug in at home. I can plug in on the job. That's a power to us. What? It's not to everybody. But if you're a saint and you are the inheritance of God, God said, I got a power for you. And if you want to know what kind of power it is, it's a power that allows you to really know how to get through life. It is the proof. As I close, number four is the idea of acknowledging the position of Christ. Look at verse number 20. Not only must we be a people of love and faith, of faith and love, not only must we be a people of prayer and a people who are plugged into the power that God has toward us, but we are people who must acknowledge the position of Christ. Notice what it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him. And I want to emphasize, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. God raised him from the dead, and then God's what? Set him on his right hand, where? In heaven. Now watch this. Far above all principalities, all power, all dominion, all might. Watch this. Every name that is named. Watch this. Not only in this world, but also in that which is the what? Which means that the position that Christ holds, y'all might want to buckle your seatbelts on this one. The position that Christ holds, there is no match. There is no parallel to it. Listen, he's far above principalities. Dominion, every authority. There is no authority that is higher than Christ. And God gave him to be head over all things. Which means, knowing his position, yet when I look at the things that have happened over this past week, some of the decisions that have been made by the Supreme Court, I think it's important for us in these days and in the times like these to know the position of Christ. There is no authority above Christ. But I want to share this with you. You and I need to understand that government is ordained of God. I need you to put up there Romans 13, 1 through 3. Romans 13, 1 through 3. In times like this, we must understand the position. Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 13, verse number 1 through 3. Now watch this. Government. Let every soul be subject unto the what? For there is no power but of whom? The powers that be are what? Our government is ordained of God. And the Bible says that you and I, as Christians in days like this, must be in subjection to the government. No. It's not a matter of you dishing the government and saying that I'm no longer going to support our government. You've got to support it. Not only support it, but you've got to submit to it. Because it's of God. It's ordained of God. Next verse. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power. If you resist government, you resist the ordinance of God. Which simply means that God expects you and I to obey government. Y'all let me preach through here now. Let me preach. Now watch this. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Listen, whatever land you find yourself in, it is your responsibility as a Christian in days like this to be obedient to government. Respect it. Verse number seven. Well, I said three. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? When government, when authority comes to you, you don't buckle up to it. No, y'all not gonna holler amen now. Amen. I got one or two, but everybody else. God expects children of God, disciples of Christ, to have a certain honor, respect, and response to government, to your police. Making it real plain. If they say stop, stop. Y'all getting quiet. You say, well, he did me wrong. God has already said, resist not. He said, listen, vengeance is mine. I'll repay. But for you, when you're told to stop, stop. Y'all don't like, huh? Well, listen. All government authority belongs to God. And he says, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. Do that which is good. And thou shalt have praise of the same. All right. I got to hurry. Drop down to verse number 7. Render therefore to all their dues. When you go into court, yes, your honor. No, sir, your honor. May I please? Our young folk need to hear this. You need to give tribute to whom tribute is due. You don't say, well, I'm going to withhold my taxes. Pay your taxes. Don't be cheating them. Don't be looking for loopholes. Well, you know the rich, they don't pay taxes. Let God deal with that. Oh, y'all. This is the book. Honor to whom honor. Verse number 8. Owe no man anything. But here, watch what God said. But to love one another. Listen, out of everything, the bottom line, the way God responds to things, he responds to it out of love. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Listen, there is no law greater than the law of love. All government has no law greater than the law of love. Brother Gibbs, why you take so long on that? Because there comes a time when government says something, government does something that you can't comply. Why? Because there is a law above the law of the land. There is a ruler above the rulers of this land. And can no five men on a bench? I know you're going to put me on Facebook and you're going to put me up, but put all of what I say on Facebook. Put all of it up there. Don't be taking snippets and cutting this up. Put my whole lesson on there. And all I'm simply saying is that there comes a time that when government steps beyond its boundary and it conflicts with the law of God, as Peter said in Acts 5, 28 through 31. Now, it may seem good to you. Now, he's talking to government. Acts 5, 28. I know my time is gone. But I'm making a point. Acts 5, verse number 28. Saying, did not we, now this is government talking to these men. Did not we command you that you should not teach in this man's name? And behold, ye fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Watch his response. Verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey what? God. Rather than what? Now listen to me. You don't throw out government because there are some things in government you don't agree with. But when government says something that is contradictory to what God said, you take what God said. Give you a prime example. When Obamacare passed, we were all shouting. Same justices. Passed Obamacare. We shouted. How many days? 3 days later. Where they made one judgment that was right, in my opinion. They turned around and abuse they use their right to violate a law of God. Now here's what I'm glad about. Is that that same government allows me free speech. And you too. It allows us the ability to practice our religion. And they will, if someone tries to keep us from practicing our religion, the government will stand behind us to speak what we believe about Christ. So you don't want to throw government out. I tell you what, we better pray they don't change that First Amendment. Now you can act like, well, we not... You know, we don't have to get involved in politics. Yeah, we do. You need to vote. Because they're passing laws that affect us. Well, somebody said, well, Brother Gibb, we don't have to marry. Not yet. I won't go to jail. Not yet. But all I'm trying to tell you is that that same government that does that, they have a right to do the other. And if you think it's going to get better, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Now, you're going to have to make up in your mind, where do I stand? Now, I'm not against, listen. Now, listen to me well. I'm not one, because love has the preeminence over everything. And if a gay couple comes in here and sits next to me, I'm going to sit there. I'm going to say, how you doing? Glad to have you. See, I'm not going to be, ooh, do you know? Because see, we got some folk right in here who are homemongering. No. They're under the cover, but they're doing it. Some are so bold that they don't even get under the cover. I know y'all say, what do you have for breakfast? I haven't had breakfast yet. Maybe I should have. We got some gossipers in here. We got some liars in here. Sin is sin. Now, if you're going to repeat me right. You know, they got me all on Facebook. Brother Gibbs said, tell it like I said it. Or tell them to get the tape or get the CD. Now, I'm going to end with this. We are not to seek to overthrow the government. We are thankful for the freedom that we have, the right to practice our religion. We have the freedom to preach the gospel, to preach the truth in love. And that we ought to be thankful for. But this law that they just passed is contrary to the doctrine of Christ. Now I want Jesus to speak. Matthew 19, verse 1 through 6. And the lesson is yours. You're going to have to put it up here now. All right. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. Now watch this. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying, unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now, the subject is about divorce. We're talking about some of these other laws, but there's some divorces that's taking place that ought not be. And some marrying that ought not be. Y'all real quiet this morning. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now watch how Jesus responds. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them what? Let me preach. Number 5, and said, for this cause shall a man, let me preach, shall a man, in other words, if I'll be the only one getting in trouble, amen. All right. Shall a man leave father and what? Now let me show you something. The only way a man can leave is that he has a what? No. Only way a man can leave, he must have a what? A father and a what? In other words, there can't be no children unless there's a what? And shall cleave unto his wife, and that's in the feminine. And they twain shall be one flesh. If you become one flesh, I'm talking about the sexual union, with someone of the same sex is an abomination to God. I'm talking about God's law. And if you become one flesh with somebody who's not your wife or your husband, it's an abomination to God Almighty. You cannot involve yourself in an act that God has ordained to be in marriage. So let's just teach it right. Verse 6. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath what? Let five men on the Supreme Court keep their hands off of it. Well, there are two realms, civil law and religious law, based on our religious practice and what the Bible teaches. We must teach the truth. Now that's my lesson. In times like these, we got to stay with what God has said. What God hath joined together, let not man mess with it, tear it asunder. Leave it like I put it. I have not sought to be arrogant. I have not sought to be brash, curt, uncaring. I have sought to just tell you the absolute truth of Jesus Christ. I do not seek to become your enemy. I seek to become your truth bearer, your light bearer. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you're in this audience and you have not yet rendered obedience to Christ, I ask you to do so. Give your life to him. Live according to his law, according to his ways, and his truth. And I guarantee you that you'll never, never falter in times like these. He will sustain you. He will sustain you through everything that happens. Through death, through trials, through tribulation, through all types of things. He will support you, and he will get you through. That's the only one I know who has that kind of guarantee. He said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. I ask you to come to this Jesus. I ask you to give your life to this Jesus. Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come unto the Father except he come by me. Give your life to him. Live by him. You do that by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, and confessing him to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. You do that. God will add you to his family. You live according to his will. And one day when it's all said and done, you'll hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Somebody needs Jesus today. Will you come? Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul.